Thank you very much, and it's a pleasure to be here with you today, and I'd like to thank the CHDP, also known as ROY, for organizing our session, and I'd also like to thank my fellow panelists. I'm really looking forward to what you have to say. I'm very grateful for APHA to be talking about policy and politics, in the especially as it relates to children, especially vulnerable children. I also want to let you know that we are coming to you to talk from a partnership that's been working for several years in Santa Clara, California. And though I don't have any financial or other conflicts of interest, I wanted to let you know I'm speaking on their behalf. And they're a nonprofit organization that's been dedicated to several years for improving outcomes for children. I won't be able to get a chance to talk to you about all of their activities. I just wanted to let you know that I'm representing a very far-flung and diverse policy group that's been active for many, many years. And thank you for the 12 minutes to discuss their successes. That's my last joke of the session. Oh, there we go. Okay. So just to let you know, I think the one thing to think about is that Santa Clara is a very diverse community, and there's over 100 different languages are being spoken, and the range of economics is very, very spread out. Now, why am I not going the right way? Okay. So I mentioned that there was a children's report that had been done many years. And basically what we determined, the study group determined that there was a lot of challenges and difficulties, and there was a lot of disparity in terms of outcomes overall. And separate study groups were determined to deal with all sorts of aspects in terms of child maltreatment and child abuse, health outcomes, and school readiness. So this is the part of the project that's been working on school readiness. They started tracking third grade reading scores and saying, well, we're not doing a very good job with third grade reading scores. What should we do about it? And then decided that the real opportunity for action was to take advantage of what was going on in terms of kindergarten preparedness. So the group got together and said, okay, we don't even understand how ready our children are for kindergarten. What should we do about that? And that's where basically the study was born. And I wanted to wave in front of you, this is an example of the work that we have produced, and it's now we have done this assessment, the kindergarten school readiness assessment, for over 3 years. So we have hundreds and hundreds of data points. And the example that we're sharing with you today is this concept of moving from awareness to action. What does it take to turn the curve on community outcomes? So though it's not an effective data presentation, it's really about a methodology to move towards action. And that's the awareness to action and the study circle concept. Okay, it's not going the right way. I don't know. It's yeah, I'm clicking away. Those three, and that doesn't look good. Yeah, I'm going to keep going ahead because I really don't have that much time. Thank you, Roy. It goes to that slide, and then we'll go any further. So the model that was developed by the Kindergarten School Readiness Assessment Project team was to look at whether children were ready, whether families were ready to send their children to school, and whether the schools were ready to receive them or not. I mentioned to you the methodology that we developed. We did a kindergarten observation technique where kindergarten teachers were trained and observed students in the first 4 weeks of kindergarten on a host of behaviors and opportunities. It takes about 10 minutes. It's done in their own language. And we developed a kindergarten observation form, a parent information form, and a teacher survey on importance of readiness skills. And all of those are very important in terms of understanding children's readiness. The other thing is that we got consent for participation from the parents for their children to participate. And as a result of the 3 years' worth of work, we have assessments that were completed over 2,200 children. and we had consents that were received, very high consent, and 82% of our families that we asked to complete their family information form participated. So I think we have a really robust data snapshot. We developed what we called our basic building blocks of readiness. We looked at indicators in four areas: kindergarten academics, self-regulation, social expression, self-care, and motor skills. And we what we determined from some very sophisticated analysis was that there were four readiness portraits that were available. What we called a group that was doing very, very well. They were proficient at all levels, and we said that they were one group, doing well, very proficient. Their mirror image were the ones that were not doing very well at all. They were about 10% of our entire sample. They needed help in terms of academics, self-regulation, self-care, and motor skills. And the ones that were doing really well were about 47%. The ones that not so well, the needs preparation a lot, were 10%. And then their kind of the counter groups were that there was a group that was focused on the facts. They did very, very well in academics and social skill and motor skills, but in terms of social skills, self-regulation did not do very well at all. And then there was our what we called our social stars, and that was about 16% of our population. They did really, really well in social areas, but their kindergarten, their academic abilities weren't that great. And there was a lot of groups that had different language abilities in that group as well. So what we also did was we asked teachers, what would you like to see in terms of preparation? And it was really interesting because the teachers, the kindergarten teachers, said themselves that self-regulation and ability to really work together in the classroom was way more important at entry and to succeed in kindergarten than actual kindergarten readiness or kindergarten academic skills. And that was really, really important because that led us to say, okay, let's really focus in more on what's going on with two areas that we found weren't doing so well in. And that was in the self-regulation and the ability to express and to use language. So hence the very specific work that took place after 3 years of very, very kind of across-the-board countywide looking at the data to really ratchet down with the study circle concept and focus in on self-regulation and language acquisition. Those were the priority in terms of what teachers thought and what our children seemed to be in terms of what needed to happen in terms of readiness. So the study circles were formed, though the partnership had been active for many years. They brought in a much larger group of population of folks, experts from Stanford all across the country, to make sure that our study circles understood the basics in terms of what is normal development in some of these areas, what were some of the challenges, some of the triggers, and what were some of the protective factors. So basically that process went on very, very deeply for quite some time. We examined best practices throughout the world. We did specific analysis of different types of profiles within our very, very robust data banks. And we actually conducted a case study, which was really interesting too, where we looked at schools that though their entering population group had issues and challenges in terms of school readiness, when it came time for their third grade reading scores, they were doing quite well. And we really wanted to see how did they beat the odds, what was successful. I will let you know one of the major things that we found out was that the teacher was conducting what she called, one of the teachers in the kindergarten classrooms was conducting what she called parent nights, which basically really served as an entryway and an ongoing discussion so that parents were involved in what their children's progress was. So I think I want to just go to the actual findings of the study circle concept because I think that's the most important factor of everything that we determined. First of all, we found that though we were looking at two study circles, that we saw a huge overlap between language challenges and barriers with self-regulation. We found that teachers needed support and mentoring about what normal behavior and development actually was. Certainly we found that with parents as well. One of the things that the study circle really had to spend quite a bit of time with in terms of the overall values was the value of bilingualism and the importance of protecting the primary language. That, of course, that we found a lot of barriers between the early childhood education and the K-12 system. And we needed to help children transfer learning between the home and school environments and between their first and second languages. A list of six key recommendations was developed, and I'm going to just close by telling you what some of those recommendations were and some of the activities that are now underway as a result of these recommendations. The kindergarten school partnership project represented over about $150 million that was being spent in early childhood preparation for kindergarten, and they committed to allocate at least 10% of that dollars to go ahead and to adopt and to make a difference in these strategies. So that's very exciting as well. The first recommendation was that coach and support parents and caregivers to become healthy role models of children for all ages. We have a list of activities that are underway with to achieve that goal. Cultivate meaning, monitoring and peer support networks among early childhood professionals, among elementary teachers. Encourage dialogue across home, child, preschool, elementary schools, and healthcare communities. And this is the recommendation that is being implemented as we speak. Improve the effectiveness and accessibility of screening for all children and of interventions for children with developmental delays. Didn't spend a lot of time talking about that developmental delay component of the population, but we found some very, very ways that we could respond universally across the entire county. And create and innovate an interactive resource library to support these efforts, and also to continue the evaluation of whether things are making a difference or not. So I'm sorry that I've had a chance to give you kind of a jerky look at what all of the actions that, and the data that were developed, but I think the most exciting thing about these action to awareness study circles was the in-depth nature of looking at some of the profiles of the different children and really understanding that at kindergarten, all of those different profiles, all of the different children are together. And that range of opportunities and sometimes challenges that the teachers are facing is quite great. So an ability to understand the profiles, understand what some of the family dynamics are, and understand some of the family stressors, and to determine what were universal responses across the county was a very, very exciting process. I don't think we would have been successful, especially with some of these value-laden issues, if we hadn't had a really robust and diverse group of folks that stayed together for many years, and certainly through this awareness to action process. So that's it, and I thank you very much for your patience with this presentation today.